Thirdly, understanding of nature. This understanding is not scientific. It's not even philosophical. Essentially, it's a spiritual understanding. And it consists in seeing nature as she really is. I've already touched on this. Nature is seasonal. Nature is cyclic. Nature is therefore samsara. Nature is the wheel of life, not as a static picture painted on a wall, but as a living, perpetually recurrent process. This process has no beginning. It's one of the axioms of Buddhism, one of the basic things, as it were, seen by the Buddhist spiritual vision, that samsara has no beginning, or rather that it has no perceptible beginning. It's important to understand this. In the West, we're accustomed to thinking of everything as having a definite beginning. It must have begun sometime or other, even nature itself, even mundane existence itself, must have a beginning in time, or at least a beginning with time. Christians, for instance, have traditionally believed that the world, the universe, had a definite beginning when God created it out of nothing. They used to give, rather confidently, the date as 4004 BC, but this date has since been revised. But this, that is to say that things had a beginning, that things were created at a certain time, as it were, is not the Buddhist view. According to Buddhism, nature has no perceptible beginning. Samsara has no perceptible beginning. And the operative word here is perceptible. Where there is a perceiving subject, there is an object. That is to say, there is a world. The subject, therefore, cannot perceive the beginning of the world, cannot perceive the beginning of the samsara. The subject, the perceiving subject, can only go back and back in time indefinitely. It can perceive a relative beginning, it can perceive a relative end, but it cannot perceive an absolute beginning, it cannot perceive an absolute end. It can perceive the beginning of a particular world, of a particular universe, but before that it'll perceive another world, another universe, before that another, and so on. And according to Buddhist teaching, universes evolve over a period of many, many millions of years. They evolve from a subtle state to a gross state. And when they've reached the height of their development, the opposite process sets in. That is to say, the process of involution. That is to say, involution from a gross state to a subtle state. And this also takes many, many millions of years. Thus, there are periods of expansion and periods of contraction. There are breathings in and breathings out of the cosmos, just like the breathings of the human body, the breathings of the human lungs, except that these cosmic inhalations and cosmic expirations take millions of years. So the samsara is cyclic. Conditioned existence is cyclic. But we must be careful that we don't become too abstract, not too remote. After all, we're still dealing with nature. In fact, we're dealing with the Earth Goddess. Now, the Earth is not only cyclic, not only seasonal, it's also cold, also dark. It has no heat of its own, no light of its own. Nevertheless, it receives heat, it receives light. So where does it receive them from? It receives them from outside itself. It receives them from the principle which is the opposite to the earth. Not only opposite to the earth, but higher than the earth. If we think in terms of the earth, this higher principle is heaven. If we think in terms of nature, this higher principle is enlightenment. If we think in terms of the changing, this principle is the unchanging. if we think in terms of the conditioned, this principle is the unconditioned. If we think in terms of the mundane, this principle is the transcendental. If we think in terms of samsara, this principle is nirvana. If we think in terms of darkness, this principle is light. And if we think in terms of dridha, the earth goddess, this principle is the golden light, the light of truth, the light of reality, the light of the Buddha, the light which is the truth, is reality, is the Buddha. It's this same principle which the Buddha refers to in Nirvana when he says, there is, monks, an unborn, an unbecome, an unmade, an uncompounded. If, monks, there were not here this unborn, unbecome, unmade, uncompounded, there would not here be an escape from the born, the become, the made, the compounded. But because there is an unborn, an unbecome, an unmade, an uncompounded, therefore there is an escape from the born, the become, the made, the compounded. We thus have two principles. We have the compounded and the uncompounded, the conditioned and the unconditioned, samsara and nirvana. Or in terms of the present lecture, we have nature and enlightenment, dridha, the earth goddess, and the golden light. These two principles are separate and independent, at least within the subject-object framework. The one cannot be derived from the other, cannot be reduced to the other. Samsara is without perceptible beginning in time. There's no point, therefore, at which it is connected with nirvana as its effect. Nirvana is beyond time altogether, even as it is beyond a space. So there's no point in time at which it is connected with samsara as its cause. Spiritual life consists in making the transition from one principle to the other, from samsara to nirvana, from nature to enlightenment, from the conditioned to the unconditioned. It consists in abandoning the ignoble quest for the noble quest, anarya paryasana for arya paryasana. To quote the words of the historical Buddha, Shakyamuni again, it consists in the conditioned pursuing the unconditioned, not the conditioned pursuing the conditioned.